live from the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference 2024 in Birmingham, Alabama. It's Ave Maria in the Afternoon with Dr. Marcus Peter on EWTN Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's episode of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter, and we have an extremely special version of the program today. I have in the studio with me at EWTN, we are at the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference 2024 from the Hyatt Region in Birmingham, Alabama, Regency in Birmingham, Alabama. We are at the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference, and with me is my friend, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, the Dynamic Deacon.
How you doing, Dr. Peters? Great to be with you, man. You know,
we've been friends
for so long, and now to be able to work together is great. You were just on my show, Beacon of Truth, and now I'm here with you, and this is a great privilege. Thank you.
And the time is flying so fast. I'm enjoying this. Now, I want to say this in the interest of everyone. Deacon will never admit this, but he's pretty prophetic, and I mean this sincerely, because he and I have known each other long before I got into Catholic radio and before I finished my doctorate, and he saw something in what God was calling me to do. And so he's one of the people who put a fire under me to make sure I finished my doctorate, and before you know it, here I am hosting the hour after him. And it's been an honor and a blessing to be with you on this and to be adding color to the occasion of Ave Maria Radio.
Yeah, literally. This is great. This is awesome. This is awesome. Yeah,
so,
but, yeah.
So, Deacon, we're going to be talking about virtuous manhood. You wrote a book, Behold the Man, mm-hmm. and this crisis of fatherhood that Pope Benedict XVI spoke about, the crisis of manhood that we're experiencing right now, and you and I are men at the forefront of the work of evangelization. And I just want to open up by very simply asking this. Why have we lost sight of true manhood in the culture?
Yeah, so basically what's happened is we've become emasculated mm-hmm. in our culture today. Back in the day, you know, it was very clear what our roles were. I mean, it starts in the book of Genesis. He said, the Lord God put man in the garden to till
yeah.
and to keep it. And those words for till is abad, which means a work that's in the form of service, and to keep is shamar, means yeah. to protect and defend. And so on page 2 of the Bible, we get our mandate,
yep.
our vocation, our calling, our marching orders, yep. right? Serve, protect, and defend yep. everything that's being entrusted to you, right? Including his spouse, right? All the yep. creation, but including his spouse. And we lost sight of that. It started with Adam in the garden, who didn't do that. Serve, protect, and defend.
So let's pause right there. We're going to go to the news, and we'll pick up right where we left off. Let's take a look at the headlines.
Thank you, Marcus, and good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Thursday, October 17th. It's the Feast of St. Ignatius of Antioch. And today's news is brought to you by Visiting Angels, providing love and care and assistance for seniors in need at visitingangels.com. Israel is confirming the leader of Hamas was killed by Israeli forces in Gaza. NBC News foreign correspondent Richard Engel.
It is an enormous blow to Hamas. He is the leader of the organization. He'd been someone that has been on the run for months.
Yahya Sinwar was declared the Palestinian militant group's new leader in August. Israeli officials said at least 3 militants were killed during operations in Gaza. Sinwar is accused of being the mastermind behind Hamas's October 7th attack on Israel last year. The IDF told families of hostages that there were no signs of harm to hostages that are still being held near where Sinwar's body was found. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump will be in New York City today for the annual L. Smith dinner to raise money for Catholic charities. Kamala Harris turned down an invitation to the event last month and instead will be campaigning in the swing state of Wisconsin. The Federal Trade Commission is making it easier to cancel digital subscriptions. It announced it would soon put in place a final check to cancel rule. It would require sellers to make it as easy for customers to cancel their enrollment as it was to sign up. And UC San Diego is receiving a grant to figure out if dogs can actually communicate by pressing a button.
Purina has granted $200,000 for an interspecies research project. Tests will be conducted at the university as well as with thousands of at-home dogs. These animals will be trained to associate specific words with specific buttons on a soundboard. Among the words the researchers are testing, play, outside, potty, and walk. Scientists on Purina's pet behavior team say this study is an opportunity to give pets an actual voice in research.
And from the AveMariaRadio.net news desk, I'm Dan McGraw.
Let's return to Ave Maria in the afternoon with Dr. Marcus Peter, live from the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference 2024 on EWTN Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter, and joining me for this very special episode of Ave Maria in the afternoon is my friend, mentor, colleague, and brother in the work of evangelization, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, the dynamic deacon. Deacon, I'm so glad you're here.
I'm grateful to be here. This is a great honor and blessing to be with you today.
Oh, and the honor's all mine, truly. So, just before the news break, you and I were mentioning that we've lost sight of the mandate that's given to men that marks manhood, the shamar, the avad, and because we lost sight of it in the garden, we fell. And now we're losing sight of it in culture, and that's why families are falling.
Yes, exactly. And that's the thing. We're seeing a disintegration of the family because we're seeing a disintegration of manhood.
Right.
You know, we've acquiesced our roles as leaders in the family. And remember, what does that mean? Leader does not mean boss.
Right.
It's not like a relationship at work, you know, where your boss tells you what to do and, you know, and you get you get an evaluation every year to assess your performance. You don't do that with your wife at home as a husband.
I mean, if you have a death wish, you
You won't be married very long, that's for sure. No, when St. Paul in Ephesians 5:22 says, wives, be submissive to your husbands. What he means there is that the woman is to place herself under the husband's mission, which is in verse 25, Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, to die. Right, to sacrifice, to give his life. So he is the head of the family, not because he's the boss, because he's the chief servant of his wife and children. Yep. And Jesus gives us the model. I've not come to be served, but to serve. Right. The greatest among you is the least, is the servant of all. You know, so our job is to go back, serve, protect, and defend. So Paul is bringing us back to the biblical mandate of what it means to be a man. Which led me really to write my book, the first book, Behold the Man, and how that came about really was I had written a paper in graduate school, just a regular paper for a class, and then someone from one of my classmates asked me to talk about that paper I wrote in a parish, and I wasn't doing anything on the Catholic faith back then. I'm like, well, whatever, you know, I'll just go, and I just read my paper. Basically, I read the paper. And then fast forward a little bit, Jerry Usher comes to the Catholic radio station in Portland. He was the host of Catholic Answers Live back then.
Yep.
And he asked me to come on to Catholic Answers Live to talk about male spirituality. I'm like, well, I can't be on a show like that. I'm nobody. I'm some schmo from Jersey, right? He goes, no, it'll be fun. So I did. And then Father Mitch Pacwa asked me to come on to talk about this topic on his show.
Right.
And then in response to that episode, Doug Kett called me and asked me to do a series. And so it just kind of snowballed from there. And so when I left my job in 2012 to speak and write full time, Mark Brumley from Ignatius Press called me and asked me, you know, was I ready to write a book? And I'm not an author. I've never envisioned in my life ever writing a book. You know, I said I'm trying to be a speaker, but not an author. But he saw something and we kicked around some ideas, and finally, behold, he goes, why don't you take that manuscript, or that your script that you wrote for EW10 to turn it into a book?
Right.
I'm like, because I didn't see anything on what it means to be an authentically Catholic man. A lot of the Catholic resources for men were about topical issues, fatherhood, priesthood, celibacy,
right.
All good things. But what is the theological foundation that underpins all of that?
Yep.
You know, there was plenty of stuff for women, Mulieris Dignitatem, letter to women, all kinds of stuff. There's a lot of Protestant stuff for men, but nothing rooted in the cross or in the sacraments. And so that's what this book was an attempt to do. And I wasn't trying to corner the market on male spirituality. I was just trying to take it up another level to lay a foundation that hopefully people will continue to write on it and study even deeper. You know, my book was not meant to be, this is the end. This is what it means. Okay, here's a different way to talk about what it means to be a man, an authentically Catholic man rooted in the Catholic faith.
And, you know, I do a lot of talks on scripture and on the theology of the body. And one thing that you said that's completely true is the theology of the body is permeated with the language of the feminine genius, right? There isn't anything out there there is very, very little on the masculine genius, when in reality the two geniuses are complementary.
Yes.
And the reason why is we've seen such a destruction of the image of woman in the public sphere, so rightfully so. But like you said, and your book's very clear, you never meant to create an exhaustive be-all, end-all. This is a primer for more work to be done. And the fact of the matter is, the Catholic framework is the only one that brings men to God's truly divinely endowed image for him. And that's the crucifix.
Yes.
Outside of the Catholic framework, you don't have that. And so all you have is a carbon copy of fake manhood.
Yeah. And that's a very important point, because that's really the hermeneutic was my focus on the book. So I wanted to focus on two things: the theology of the cross in St. Paul, as you know, because we have to see ourselves as men on the cross of right. Jesus Christ, and then also the anthropology of John Paul II, yeah. To take what he did for women in Mulieris Dignitatem, mm-hmm. and take his phenomenological approach and apply that to men. You know, because there was really nothing for men, at least that I could, when we were researching, in the history of the church. I mean, there was Pope Leo XIII's Quamquam Plurius on mm-hmm. St. Joseph. Then 100 years later, Redemptoris Custos, Guardian of the Redeemer. John Paul II, mm-hmm. in honoring Quamquam Plurius, wrote mm-hmm. On St. Joseph. Familiaris Consortio, St. John Paul II's document on the family, mentions fatherhood, but not a detailed foundational understanding of authentic Catholic male spirituality.
Even Pope Francis's letters on St. Joseph in the year of St. Joseph, it mentions manhood in Joseph, to be sure, but we're lacking, we really are lacking in truly comprehensive, directed pedagogy on manhood and theological manhood.
Yeah, and there's a couple things before my book came out. Father Martin Pabel, who was a Capuchin friar, mm-hmm. Had written a couple of different books on male spirituality, you know, and then my book came along, and then I think the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, Emmaus Academic, there's a book that came out that at a very deeply academic level, mm-hmm. talks about applying John Paul II's anthropology to a male spirituality, you know, so we're starting to see. You know, and we're seeing the rise of men's conferences and men's mm-hmm. groups. You know, we have the Heroic Men
yep.
initiative now, which is just is growing by leaps and bounds. Yeah. You know, really bringing men together and really taking the spirituality of Catholic manhood very seriously. Yeah. You know, providing Heroic Men provides the best resources for Catholic men anywhere in the world.
Yeah,
you know, all free.
Yep.
You know, because we have men who funded it, who really truly believe in what Christ is doing in the hearts of men.
Right.
And to really impact. Because the way I see it, Dr. Peter, is strong men, strong families. Mm-hmm. Strong families, strong church. Strong church, we change the culture.
Yep.
You know, and so that's why I focus. I mean, I talk about a lot of other things, right? But one of my areas of special attention is authentic Catholic male spirituality.
I find myself doing more and more of the same thing. And because it's so near and dear to my heart, now that I'm a husband and a father, my oldest, Benedict, he's 3. And I can't wait for you to meet them. You'll get a kick out of Benedict, especially. He's quite the little fireball. But I look at my son and I realize that this reality of absentee fathers has plagued our culture so much that men are paying the price, because manhood isn't something that's kicked in with testosterone. Manhood has to be learned. Manhood has to be called out, and it takes a virtuous man to call out the man in another.
Amen.
We are talking with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and this whole hour we're going to be spending time with him digging deep into this question of manhood, family, and a reclamation of God's plan for the human person. So stay tuned, because for Ave Maria in the Afternoon from EWTN Catholic Radio Conference 2024, I'm Marcus Peter.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is sponsored by Workforce Pay Hub, providing payroll, time tracking, HR management, and benefits administration, all with a dedicated customer-centric service team. More information can be found at workforcepayhub.com.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Get detailed descriptions of Ave Maria Radio guests on their website, avemariaradio.net. Go to the archives, find your favorite program, and then find links or books mentioned in that program. That's avemariaradio.net.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon with Dr. Marcus Peter continues live from the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference 2024 on EWTN Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter, coming to you live from the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference 2024 from the Hyatt Regency in Birmingham, Alabama. My guest is Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, a friend, the dynamic deacon, and host of Beacon of Truth, which plays the hour before Ave Maria in the Afternoon. So we've been blessed to spend today with each other, and it's been such a joy. Now, you're an ardent lover of the Scriptures, as am I, and we share that in common because one of the things that you and I have discovered is that the Scriptures really do provide a copious blueprint for what's expected of men right from the early pages of Genesis. So a good man really is one who's on his knees before the Lord, and his head is in the Scriptures. He's pouring through it to gain this divine wisdom to be who God has made him to be.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that I do in the book, which is kind of spread out throughout the entire book. But what I've done is I've taken different men of the Scriptures, mm-hmm. and I've created a talk. So it depends on what I could do. I could do men of the Old Testament, men of the New Testament, or I could do a kind of a hybrid of both. Mm-hmm. So I could, you know, depending on what they want. And why did I do that? I wanted to show men that to be a man of God, I think, though, I can't do that. It's beyond reach. No, look at David, for example.
I know, right?
I mean, come on. First of all, David is a teenager when he's called by God. He was not even in the lineup when mm-hmm. Samuel came to the house, his dad's house, Jesse. He had eight sons. He only lined seven of his sons up, left David out. But God saw something in David that Samuel didn't see. And, you know, he says to him, you know, do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I've rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Mm-hmm. Man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks on the heart, which is leb in Hebrew. So the leb is not just an organ that pumps blood through the body, but it's the seat of the will.
That's right.
Right. It's the place where your desire for God lives inside of you. And that's what we have to remember as men, that God doesn't care what you look like on the outside. He cares what kind of heart you have as a man. That's what he saw in David. Now, why is that important? David not only conquered Goliath because he knew that God fights with him and for him as a man, but then later on in 2 Samuel, we'd see that David was also human. You know, I mean, he did some, in a sense, superhuman things when it came to all the battles and the, all the people that he conquered. But what conquered him? Lust. Yeah. You know, the whole thing with Bathsheba and having an affair with her and getting her pregnant and then having her husband killed. And yikes, man. Yeah. Actually, the apostle says that David is a man after God's own heart. But yet he's an adulterer and a murderer. And God still used him for his glory. That's why I talk about David. It gives us hope. And then at the end of David's life, in 1 Kings chapter 2, he's on his deathbed. He's standing, his son Solomon standing before him. And what is his last instructions to his son? Be strong and show yourself a man. But he just doesn't tell him to be a man. Because he can say, be a man. That means get as many women as you want and go out there and conquer and all the pleasure and all the money. He says, no, keep charge of the Lord your God. Walking in his ways, keeping his statutes, his commandments, his ordinances, his testimonies as they are given to us in the word of God, that you may prosper in all that you do.
Yep.
So if you want to be successful, you have to follow the ways of the Lord.
Yep.
And that message is not just for Psalm, it's for all of us.
Yep.
Because Jesus is our brother, we are all sons of David.
Amen.
That message is for all men. You know, and that's his final instructions to his son. So I'm thinking, if I'm on my deathbed, what are my last words going to be to my child? Now I love you. We should be. If the last words is I love you, that's not good, because you'd be telling your kids you love them every day, not just to when you're dying.
Right.
You know. But David's last words, son, keep charge of the Lord your God. And then he reveals to him, to Solomon, what God said to him. So he knows that he's not going to see his grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he goes, Solomon, if your son, he's again repeating the words that God said to him. If your sons walk in my way and keep my commands with all their heart and all their soul, there shall not fail you a man on the throne of Israel.
Yep.
So in other words, your sons and their sons and their sons, if they keep to the ways of the Lord, they will not fail.
Yep.
That's the message.
The throne
for us
of
today.
David would have continued. Foreign domination would never have happened.
Yes, yes. But instead, what happens? Why is David considered the greatest king in the history of Israel? He's the only one that didn't follow a false god.
Yep.
He's the only one that didn't worship another god.
Yep. And
you know,
you see the cycle after that, right? The moment Solomon introduces pagan idolatry into the nation, then you get this good king backing, and it's ridiculous to look at. But that's a mirror of our own lives. Because even that David sinned with Bathsheba, the Lord tells him through Nathan, that which you've done in secret, I will make public. And true enough, what does his son do? On the very same rooftop that he saw Bathsheba and coveted her, Absalom sleeps with every one of his concubines in the sight of the entire kingdom on that rooftop. He pitches that tent, right? The sins that visit us, the sufferings that visit us, because David gets ousted from the throne, he gets cast out, the sufferings that visit us very often are the result of decisions that we make, and that's why men have such an obligation to rise up, put on the armor of the Lord, as Ephesians 6 calls us to. And Ephesians 6 follows Ephesians 5, which calls us to die to ourselves first.
Yes.
So we fight on our knees, we fight by dying on the cross. And so every day I'm actually called to die more than I did before, and that's how I love my bride and sanctify, because the scriptures say what? Purify her by water and the word, by what? Dying for her. And if we lose sight of that, it's no wonder our marriages and families are falling.
Yeah, and we're going to touch back on something you mentioned before, this whole fatherhood piece. You know, you keep hearing this thing about the father wound, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so many of us, myself and you, did not have good relationships with our fathers. I am a child of divorce. When we came to the United States, my father did not come with us.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't come till over a year later. And in fact, I mean, I was still young. I don't remember exactly when. My mom would say later it was over a year before he decided to join us. He's a very successful musician, running very successful nightclubs in Barbados. And to leave that, to come up to here to nothing. He didn't want to give up his lifestyle. Right. And he had a bunch of other children and things like that. So he was not a man of God, didn't go to church, anything. So I mean, did not have that that ideal vision of what father is.
Yeah.
You know, he did not support me when I joined the monastery. And before that, though, they got divorced, you know. So when he left, I helped my mom take care of our family. So so I did not have a good idea of what, and in fact, I never thought that I'd be a father, because I was in the monastery. I thought this is what God is calling me to. And you know, what that did was when I left the monastery and met my wife, or the woman who was going to be my wife, I was filled with fear. Because I never thought I'd be a father. Now I'm in a situation where I almost went back to the monastery. I'm like, I'm scared. I don't want to end up like my parents.
Yeah.
Huh? I was living in fear. You know, like the armies of Israel before Goliath. You know, and I was afraid to face my Goliath. You know, afraid to face the fact that, you know, instead of moving in the direction God was calling me to, I was going to back away from it because of fear.
Right.
You know, just like Saul and the armies backed away from Goliath. And I had to learn to face that Goliath. And that's why we do the work that we do with men, to help them face the Goliaths in their life that are preventing them from truly becoming the men God created and called them to be.
And you see, like, you highlighted something really. By the way, exact same thing happened to me. Exact same thing, right? That as I'm approaching marriage, I confess this. God had to speak to my bride and say, this is the man you're going to marry, because I was too stubborn to listen, because I didn't want to get married. And I had very noble aspirations, right? I thought, I'll get my degrees in theology so that I can travel the world and evangelize and bring Jesus' gospel to the ends of the earth. I don't need to put a woman through that, right? It was a very weird, noble. And God said, no, this is the vocation I'm calling you to. This is what's going to make you a saint. And we will continue this on the other side of the break. My guest is Deacon Harold Bergsiv, as a dear friend and fellow evangelist, host of Beacon of Truth, The Dynamic Deacon. And we're talking about God's plan for manhood, marriage, the family, everything. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Support for this Ave Maria radio program comes in part by the non-for-profit St. Anthony Services. Are you shopping for mortgage products, Catholic investing, Catholic health, real estate, or estate planning? StAnthonyServices.org can help you find a Catholic professional for these needs. They regularly connect faithful citizens with faith-based professionals that share our Christian values. More information at StAnthonyServices.org or 877-LIFE-US1.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
Who belongs to the Catholic Church? According to the Catholic Catechism, all men and women are called to the Catholic unity of the people of God. In different ways, they belong or are ordered to belong. The Catholic faithful, other believers in Christ, and all mankind are called by God's grace to salvation. Those who in faith accept all the precepts, sacraments, and all the means of salvation given to the Church and possess the Spirit of Christ are fully incorporated into the society of the Church. One, however, who does not persevere in charity is not saved. He or she remains in the bosom of the Church, in its body, but not in its heart. The Church is joined in many ways to other faiths that call themselves Christian, even though they do not profess the Catholic faith in its entirety or have not preserved unity or communion under the successors of Peter. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Let's return to Ave Maria in the Afternoon with Dr. Marcus Peter, live from the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference 2024 on EWTN Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Ave Maria in the Afternoon. We have our special guest, Deacon Harold Buck-Sivas, who is the dynamic deacon host of Beacon of Truth that airs on EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We are kindred spirits, brothers in this work of evangelization, and we're talking about this need to reclaim true manhood. And so, Deacon, we were talking earlier about how it really is the responsibility of a virtuous man to call out the man in another. We can't wait for culture to do it. We can't wait. And we also can't expect that just because testosterone kicked in, this boy is now a man. Yeah. Manhood is more than just hormones and bodily stature. There's an in-depth genius and reality that needs to be claimed here.
Yeah, and that's a great point. Because one thing I hear, and one thing that sometimes I get criticized on from other men is that, well, you don't understand the cultural context of manhood. So, example, you don't understand how we do things in Hispanic culture. You don't understand how we do things in this particular culture. I'm like, really? Show me in the Gospels what Jesus says. Oh, yeah, that's right. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You have to give your life for them. Except if you're Hispanic, because you have a whole different, right? Come on. The standard that Jesus teaches is for every man.
Amen.
That transcends culture. You know, so your culture doesn't define you. You know, a deep, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ defines who you are as
Amen.
A man.
Amen.
And that, gets to the heart of the issue with authentic male spirituality, is that we allow the hurts from the past, those things from the past, that we allow the culture to dictate to us who we are instead of letting Jesus Christ lead us to become the men who he created us to be. And so what we have to do is we have to revision the way of looking at what it means to be a man. That means we have to break the strangleholds of the past. Mm-hmm. We have to break through those barriers and that's happened to both of us. Yeah. You know, we've had to overcome significant fatherhood challenges in our past, and mostly overcome the fear.
Yes,
you know, I was afraid of getting married, and I was going to run back to the safety of monastic
right.
life. You were afraid also to get married because you didn't want to end up like your
right.
Your parent. What
exactly,
kind of parent?
Yeah.
I mean, same thing with me. It's like, I don't know what I'm doing here. You know, so I mean, but we have to overcome that, and the way we do that, another man has to call out another man.
Yes,
which is why I do men's conferences. I mean, I do many different types of events. I'm grateful to God, but one that's the events that are near and dear to my heart. Is my, now, when I do those events, I always say, if there are any women here, can they please leave? Now, I don't do that because I don't like women or anything like that. No, I mean, I need to say some things to these guys.
Mm-hmm.
I need to say them firmly and directly.
Right.
And if there's a woman there, No, the guys are going to be like, oh my goodness, how's she taking this?
Right.
You know, and they're so self-conscious about what she's thinking,
uh-huh.
they're not able to hear the message of what I'm saying.
It's not going
to
land on their hearts well.
Exactly. Right, right. So I say, please, women, please leave, because I need to say some hard things to these guys.
Right.
And I just take off the gloves and I just, bam, I just spiritually hit them in the face. Because they need to hear that. And I can't tell you how many men have come and said, whoa, that was a powerful thing. I needed to hear that.
Right.
Because we need to speak to men like men. Because, again, this culture is speaking to them like little wimps. Like, look at the television shows. Men are wimpy. They're not seriously. They're a joke. They're a buffoon. That's not who we are.
Yeah.
And the women see that and think, oh, okay, this is what I have to be satisfied with.
Right.
No.
And in every one of those shows, the man is wimpy, spineless. He's the butt of every joke. He's there for comic relief. And
yeah.
so the woman rises up and does manly things,
mm-hmm.
heading the family, being the breadwinner, being the leader of the family, being firm. She has to control the man. And it's infuriating because it's a willful repudiation of what manhood really looks like. But I want to go back to what you said earlier, that you hit them in the face. This whole time you and I have been talking, we've been using implicit language of battle.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say something. I know you will agree. And I know this is going to scandalize some people, especially the women. But I mean this. Men, we need to fight. We need to learn how to fight. And I mean that physically and spiritually. We need to be willing to hit and take hits. And the reason why is because of this. Like Deacon said, and I, you know, like this is one of those things I'm learning to share. Yes, I was terrified of getting married, not because I wouldn't love my bride. I knew that I would will her good above all else. I didn't want to recreate the situation within which I was raised.
Yes,
I was afraid that I wouldn't be the kind of father that I know God made me to be because of my own experience of parenting. I had to confront that Goliath.
Yes,
I had to stand before him and take out my slingshot and do battle with him, with the Lord by my side, just like you did.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Never once was it easy. It's not like I woke up one day and all of a sudden, oh, this is a walk. No, I just kept fighting. You just kept, and that resilience of pushing forward, because that's what we're made to do. That's what our brides need from us. That's what our children needs from us. And if we do that, that's going to build family, and family's finally going to build society, and society's going to build culture.
That's right. Exactly right. And let me tell you anecdotally how I did that, just to show you that this is innate within men.
Right.
We used to have family nights when the kids were younger. So once a week, we'd do something together as a family for an hour. And we'd all pick. You know, I would pick, then my wife would pick, then each of the children. So when the twins were old enough, they got a chance to pick what we do for, well, each of them got a chance to pick what we do for family night that week.
Uh-huh.
So I remember Benjamin was 4. It was his first time picking family night. He was so excited. And at that time, we had a family of raccoons living in a tree in our front yard.
Uh-huh.
And so we go, okay, Benjamin, what are we doing for family night? He's just jumping around so excited. Let's beat the raccoons with a stick. And I'm like, no, son. but the fact is, you know, he's a man. He's got this thing within him to pick up something and hit things with it, right? And so along with that, we used to have like little wrestling matches all the time. I used to throw him around on the couch.
Right.
And my wife would say, what are you doing? I'm like, no, leave him alone. Because first of all, he needs to feel my strength as his father.
Mm-hmm.
And know that within that strength that he's safe. You know, and he can see me using my strength to serve his mom mm-hmm. and his sisters. You know, that strength, that a man's strength is not for beating and not for hurting.
Yep.
It's not for abusing.
Yep.
It's for gift.
Yep.
It's a gift. That strength is a gift to serve, protect, and defend the biblical
right.
mandate and to die. You know, look at how strong Christ was and that strength it took, you know, to give and sacrifice his life. You know, he should have died after the scourging.
Yes, exactly.
He should have died after the scourging. That's
should,
how strong he was as
he
a man.
He survived the way of the cross.
That's right. He could, even before crucifixion, he should have died. Fell 3 times.
Yeah.
But we see how strong he was as a man. He got up and he kept moving forward. Same thing with us. We're going to fall. We're going to make mistakes. I made mistakes as a father. Mm-hmm. There's things I go back and look at like, gosh, I wish I would have done that differently now. You know, but you know what? You fall, you get up, you keep moving forward.
Yep.
And even now, you know, I think in a sense I have the best relationship with my kids now now that they're adults. You know, because I can go back. I can't fix the things, the mistakes I made in the past, but at least I can have a different relationship with them now and still mentor them and still witness to them the power of authentic manhood and what that looks like. For my daughters, I took them on their first dates when they turned 16 because I wanted to show them this is how you're treated by a man, not by a boy.
Amen.
By a man. Yeah. So I took them on the dates and I showed them how they're supposed to be treated because I want the bar to start high, not low. The bar starts high. You know, so and those just a few things that I try to do in the life of trying to again. At first, I said, okay, let me just do everything my opposite of my dad. That's not good enough. Just not doing what he didn't is not good enough.
That was me.
We have to follow Christ.
That was me for the first year.
Yeah,
first year of parenting. Every moment, I just kept do the opposite of what was done to me. And that's a terrible way to live because you're operating from this place of fear when your Father in heaven is saying, no, I've made you for a bar that's infinitely higher than that. I am the source of your fatherhood. You can turn to me instead of running away from that. And it took time, gosh. And it took resilience and it took battling. And to this day I battle. You know, Paul talks about, I run the race such that I am worthy of the crown that awaits me, right? And then it took time before he was able to say, I have run the race, fought the good fight, and finished the faith. This is a marathon. And I love that Paul utilizes this language. I'm like a boxer hardening myself with blows so that I'm ready for the battle.
That's right. Amen.
My guest, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and we are talking about manhood. We're talking about reclaiming true manhood. And we hope that you're being edified by this, because as much as we overcome these things, God is the source of our fatherhood and manhood. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
The most amazing saints from modern times, John Paul II, Maximilian Kolbe, and Maria Faustina with the Divine Mercy. This is Steve Ray. We invite you to join us on a pilgrimage to Poland and experience this incredible Catholic country, the land of saints, Catholic culture, gorgeous churches and shrines, and delicious food. Join us next April as we again visit Poland, one of our favorite pilgrimage destinations.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu.
We are the pro-life generation, passionate about building the culture of life in our healthcare and in our nation. But not all healthcare options are equally pro-life, and some provide morally objectionable procedures. CMF Curo is different. CMF Curo is a pro-life Catholic healthcare ministry providing a pathway for its members to build the culture of life in their healthcare choices, not destroy it. Learn more about CMF Curo at MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Isn't it awesome that we today do not recognize His presence in the Eucharist? Is it because we really don't go to Him in humbleness of heart and say, Lord, I don't believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I want to see You. I want to recognize You. I cannot live without You. Are we saying that?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The Word became flesh to redeem us from our sinful state, the Catechism tells us, and reconcile us to God. We lived in darkness and needed a great light. We were prisoners and we needed to be freed. In such a miserable state, we needed a divine human mediator to descend from heaven. Through Jesus' suffering and death, we learned how much God loved us. for divinity to descend to humanity, and humanity in the poorest circumstances demanded great love and great sacrifice and great humility. It also gave us a great role model whom we could and should imitate on our life's journey. Jesus is the embodiment of the Beatitudes and the norm of the new law. He commanded us to love one another as I have loved you. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Do you have a teenager at home who's full of potential? Too often the world is telling you to be content with mediocrity instead of raising respectful and responsible young adults with strong character. Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Ray. If you need some help, not only to navigate those teen years, but to really enjoy them, check out my book, Standing Strong, Good Discipline Makes Great Teens, as well as my other books, on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon with Dr. Marcus Peter continues live from the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference 2024 on EWTN Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. Remember, EWTN produces a lot of content that's available to you on demand. The on-demand platform features 50 new podcasts every week, as well as an ever-expanding library, audio, video content. Catholics, if you want to learn more about your faith, you should get on to EWTN On Demand. Your programs are available 24/7, and you can visit EWTN.com and click On Demand. Now, as you heard, Deacon Harold Berg-Sivers and I are coming to you live from the EWTN Catholic Radio Conference 2024, and we've been talking about what society and the culture and this fallen nature has done to true manhood. In this final segment, Deacon Harold and I really want to exhort, especially you men, but for you ladies listening, you brides, mothers, what have you, know that what we are sharing with you will be difficult for you to communicate to the men in your life, but these truths are necessary so you can drive them back to this archive after the fact. But the fact of the matter is, men, we need to rise up. We need to take up that challenge. We need to pick up our swords. We need to armor up and get ready for the battle, because whether we like it or not, the battle is raging, and the forefront of the battle is our families, our marriages. Satan is coming after them, and they have to get, and he has to get through you first. Deacon?
Yes, amen. So what I did in the last part of my book, the last chapter, I wanted to put some flesh on the bone, right? So I talked about the biblical foundation for authentic male spirituality. I talked about sin and human freedom. I talked about theology of the body. I talked about fatherhood and work, all the different, right? But then at the end, I said, you know what? How can we put this into our lives in a practical, real-world way? So what I did was I took each of the pieces of the armor of God that St. Paul talks about in Ephesians 6 and applied a spirituality for men to each of those pieces of armor so men can fight with the spiritual armor of God, right? So I said, oh, let me just dive in this and do that. So that's what I did in the last part of the book.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
so let's
talk about that a little deeper. And I want to start with the foundation here, that even in that conversation, you're presupposing that the man, by virtue of being a man, has made a commitment to become virtuous. You can't begin talking about the armor of God. And you do this in the earlier part of your book. You pave that way, right? Virtue is a necessity for the walk of the Christian faith. Especially, in fact, that word vir in Latin, virtue, it means man. To be a manly person is to be a virtuous person.
That's right. And so virtue is like working out, right? Another thing that men like to do, right? You go to the gym and you work out. What are you doing? You're building strength,
yeah.
Right? You're strengthening your body. And the same thing, virtue, we are strengthening our soul spiritually.
Yep.
You know, so virtue is the habits that you do over and over again, just like reps.
Yep.
And then with the weights, you do it over and over again. Because what are you doing? You're tearing the muscle.
Yep.
And then in order to build it up.
Yep.
Right? And same thing, we're tearing ourselves as spiritual and building ourselves up virtuously. You know, we are emptying ourselves of all those things that separate us from God's love so that God can fill us with his life so we can become the man. And I got to tell you, since I started living that way, I've never been more joyful. My wife has never been happier. My marriage has never been better. My relationship with my kids has never been better. The work that I'm doing in the Lord's kingdom is thriving, not because of necessarily my efforts, I'm following God's lead and being faithful to what God has called me to do as a man.
Right.
And I want to share that experience with every man.
Yeah.
You know, so that every man, because every man's called to that. Yeah, it's going to look different.
Yep, yep.
In, you know, the, how men live out that vocational call, but every man is called to that same battle to fight for his wife, his children, for the church, and for the culture.
And the irony of this, that you and I are talking about this, from Barbados to the United States, from half literally clear across the world from where you were, Barbados, Malaysia, to the United States. And there's a universality which should tell us something. This truth is for every single man on the planet. This is something that is unique to Deacon Harold Burks. It was just because he's involved in this niche work, or Marcus Peter, because in... No. This is what Christ has given as the blueprint for true male flourishing, true male virtue, and therefore true male happiness. Outside of this is misery.
That's right. And we talked about this before. The cultural context, it does not define what that looks like.
Amen.
As a man. You know, so for example, people say, well, you're a black Catholic. No, I'm a Catholic who's black. And they think by saying that, I'm denying my identity as a person of color. I'm not at all. You know, my color, my race, that doesn't define me.
Yep.
Yeah, what defines me is a lost son of the living God. You know, being the man, the virtuous man that God created and calls me to be. And the battle to sustain that in my life, because look, you know, what does St. Paul say in Ephesians? We're battling against principalities and powers and the things of the world.
Right.
You know, they're trying to kill God's life in us, to literally kill the life of God in us.
Yeah.
That's what pornography is doing. That's what contraception is doing. It's literally killing God's life in us. And that's what the devil wants. Yeah. You know, we're supposed to die like Christ died on the cross, but they want us to die spiritually.
Yes.
You know, so that the devil can get in there and just, you know, what does he fill that space with? Pleasure, the things of the world.
Right.
Right. And Paul says in Ephesians, and I'm sorry, in Romans chapter, in Romans chapter 8, he says, those who, I'll paraphrase it, those who dwell desire the flesh, you know, will always think of the things of the flesh, the things of the world.
Right.
But those who live according to the Spirit, whoever sets their mind on the flesh, on the things of the world, is death.
Yes.
Is mavet or thanatos. It means
that's
to cut
right.
yourself off from God's life. Whoa, hold on. You know, but whoever lives according to the things of the Spirit, things of God, is life and peace.
Yeah.
Right? That's the key. So how do we capture that as a man? And that's the key because... you know, the more we don't do that, the more we're going to find ourselves more broken families, broken church. And this is for all men, by the way, including priests.
Yes, that's true.
Priests are fathers of families in the parish.
Not just husbands.
How do they give life? The sacrament of reconciliation and through the Eucharist.
Amen.
They give life. So not you know, conjugally, but they give it spiritually. You know, and they on earth are representing that wedding feast of the Lamb in Revelation 19, verse 9.
Yep.
And so we need strong priests. Also a strong father, because everything we're talking about also applies to priests as well.
Amen. Amen. And that's why, just as brothers, we're going to speak directly to your heart and say that pornography, contraception, any form of self-sexual pleasure, that has no place in the life of a man. Even if you're not married, even if you're not a priest,
yes.
That has no place in the life of a man. Everything about you, including your sexuality, was made so that you can make a complete gift of yourself to the other. Because that's the only way we're going to find fulfillment, but also truly build this culture into Christ's image.
Yes. And that's why virtue is so important. Because, you know, we think about, you know, our spiritual life has to, in a sense, supersede those passions.
Amen.
You know, and when our lives are not properly ordered, then those passions can take over. Now, look, every single one of us men are tempted at some point or another. Maybe we're going through something difficult, and the way we deal with that difficulty, instead of diving deeper into our faith, mm-hmm. instead of moving closer to Christ, we want to try to feel better,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so
right,
there's this physical satisfaction, this physical release, we think, as a way of dealing with the pain. We don't want to feel that pain anymore, so we drown it in pornography, we drown it in alcohol, we drown it in work, we drown it all these things. All we're doing is covering it up.
Yeah.
We're not dealing with the issue.
You're running from Goliath.
We're running away from Goliath instead of facing. And what does he fight with? He fights with a sling and five smooth stones, right? And I talked about yesterday how that, to me, looking at biblical typology, that's a type of rosary.
Yeah.
Right? So David fights with the weapons of God. Right, and we as men need to pick up those weapons of God and fight.
Amen.
Fight for our not only our own spiritual lives, but fight for our families, our marriages, to fight for our children, to fight for the church, and fight for the culture.
And now more than ever, we need to understand as men, the church needs us to do this.
Yes, we
don't have an excuse anymore. It's not like we can fall back and say, someone else will handle this. Uh-uh. The battle is raging. Every
yeah.
one of us is called to battle now, at this moment, this second.
Mm-hmm. Now, you got to remember, when people hear the way we're talking, we're talking about the fight, it's not violence.
Right, right.
You know, because we talked about the rosary being a weapon. It's not a weapon to inflict a harm on someone else. You know, it's not an act of violence, right? But it is a weapon against the devil.
Yes.
Against evil, against sin,
yep.
against those things that separate us from God's love. Yep. That's what we're protecting ourselves
Amen.
Against. So it's more of a weapon of protection, not a weapon of offense.
That's right.
In a sense. So we want to be clear when we're talking about fighting. This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And this is what we're called to. As men, I remember another little story about the twins. I remember because we had a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and newborn twins,
mm-hmm.
right? And my wife was giving the twins a bath, and I was in the living room with the older girls. And my wife says, "Hun, come in here." And I thought somebody was drowning. I thought there was an emergency. I run into the bathroom. I said, what's wrong? She goes, "Look at your son." So Benjamin and Sophia are in the tub mm-hmm, together.
Mm-hmm.
And Sophia has some dolls. She's splashing with the dolls, and they're having a little play date. My son is taking the heads off the other dolls, filling the body cavities with water, and watching them sink to the bottom of the tub. And I looked at it. I said, "What's the problem?" She goes, "Your son, he's a serial killer." Because I'm like, "No, he's a boy.
He's a boy.
That's what we do.
That's what Benedict would do too, yes.
That's what your son would do, right?" I mean, because again, this is something that's innate.
Yep.
And what we have to do as husbands and fathers to help our sons channel
yes.
that innate
yep.
male spirituality, that to serve, protect, defend, that's already built within them from God.
Right.
To direct that in positive ways to build up and not to tear down.
Yep. You know, like Therese, my 2-year-old, gravitates towards White Bunny, which is her favorite stuffed animal. Benedict, he grabs a sword. He grabs a stick.
Yeah,
and,
see?
And yes. So, men, brothers, thank you for joining us on this episode of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. Take up this challenge. Take up this exhortation. My guest has been Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, a friend, fellow evangelist, and we're calling all of us men, rise up, take up this challenge, and we fight on our knees for the glory of God, the salvation of souls, and protection of our marriage and family. Until next time, I'm Marcus Peter.